Welcome to High Ticket Woman, the podcast for Christian women who are relationship challenged, and they know that to make changes, it starts with them wanting more, expecting more, and becoming more. Here's your host, Debbie Cottle.
I have a lot on my mind today, ladies, because you know, I see so much of the time how influenced I am by things going on around me. And I have to imagine it's the same for you too. So welcome to another episode of High Ticket Woman. We are going to dive in today and we're going to go kind of deep. I want you to put your thinking hat on because there's some things I want you to really ponder and question. You see, there's a lot of tactics out there to get you and me to pay attention to the various messages that are out there. And I want to talk about those tactics today because we pay a price every time we let ourselves be pulled or influenced in a way that goes against our high ticket inner values, our core beliefs, our moral code. Every time we allow ourselves to get pulled away from that, we pay a price. And I don't want that. And I don't want that for you. I want to be very intentional about my life. I want to know that no matter what's going on around me, I am driven by an internal standard that doesn't change. It doesn't move. So let's talk about this. And we're going to talk about how to actually figure out what really matters. Who gets to tell me who to be, how to be, what to think, what to believe in, what to do, how to treat others, what to focus on, what even to be afraid of? I mean, think about what we just went through globally. Right? We just went through a global pandemic. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time on that, but there was a lot of messaging out there, wasn't there, about what we should be afraid of. And we're talking on the biggest scale, although it can happen in a small context too. We're talking about social engineering. Social engineering is the attempt to manipulate a specific group of people into thinking and behaving in a certain way. Okay? So I want you to ask yourself, have I been the target of any kind of social engineering? Yeah, you have. Yes, I have. The pandemic is just one example of that. But think about this social engineering that has happened in terms of defining womanhood, femininity, what we as women should value. Right? Just think about that for a moment. Okay? Have there been some recent efforts that you can pinpoint that have tried to shape and influence your thinking? And who are the people behind that? Even just like actual influencers. You know, when I was growing up, there was no such thing that I was aware of anyway. I mean, there weren't even cell phones. So there wasn't social media. But now this is a rather recent phenomenon, right? People who are actually making money by trying to influence us, trying to shape our thoughts and our perceptions and, yeah, even our behaviors. And these people have a supposed expertise or a certain status, maybe a celebrity status. So we look up to them. We admire them. We think, well, if this is the way this person says I'm supposed to do something or what to buy or what to think or believe in, then I'm going to do that. I think of myself, I like to get on Pinterest And I don't do it on a regular basis, but you know, sometimes when I'm laying in bed at night and I'm on my tablet, because that's what I like to do at night, I'll go to Pinterest and I'll sometimes watch these makeup tutorials. And person A tells me how to apply makeup this way. Person B tells me how to apply it that way. Person C has a completely different way of doing it. Or sometimes I'll watch it on YouTube, right? Well, all of those people are influencers. And, you know, that stuff is relatively harmless, okay? But there are other kinds of influencers and influences out there that are far more subtle and dangerous. And the thing is that no matter where I look, no matter where I am, it's everywhere, right? I mean, it's on television, it's on magazines, it's in the news, it's on billboards as you're driving down the road. I can't go to the gym without being bombarded by messaging because, you know, there's these multiple screens everywhere that are advertising all kinds of things. Even if it's just a music video that's pumping away on the screen, which sometimes that is what it's up there, it's still sending me messaging, right? It's telling me what's trending in terms of the music and the clothing and the styles and the way people behave and what's sexy and so much messaging, even if I'm not consciously thinking about that. What about store owners and the posters they display and book covers? And the biggest one, of course, right on our phone, social media. We can't get away from it. I mean, every time I pick up my phone to search some piece of information, I'm confronted with news that I don't even know for sure is really accurate. It may not even really be news. I mean, sometimes something will grab my interest and I'll click on the link to read it and it takes me to something completely different, something really misleading. You know, sometimes I'll see a supposed article on some celebrity and I'll think, okay, well, what's going on with these people now? And I'll click on the link and the article wasn't about that at all. It was about some skincare line that now they're trying to sell me. And it makes it really difficult to trust, you know, the things that I look at, the things that I read. So where do I pay attention? What do I focus on, right? It's difficult to stay high ticket in a world like this. At least it is for me. I'm sure it must be for you too. I don't know how it can't be. So for me as a Christian woman, again, who's trying to be really intentional in my life, this is something really important that I have to evaluate. If I just want to know what's trending these days, it's not hard to know. I just have to look around. It's everywhere around me. And if I just follow the trends, you know, if I just follow the crowd, well, the crowd's going to lead me pretty much every single time to what's popular. And if I'm not careful, I can get swept away by that. So let's take something really simple. All right. I love clothes. I love shoes. I love handbags. I love jewelry. I love all of that stuff. Right. And, you know, in my lifetime, the trends, we'll just take shoes alone. Right. The trends for shoes has changed so much. Pointy toed, square toed, round toed, block chunky heel, stiletto heel, kitty heel, flat heel, no heel. And, you know, there are certain styles and trends that I look at and go, that's ugly. I will not be caught dead wearing that, no matter how popular or trendy it is. And I like that about myself. I like that I'm not so easily influenced by just because it's in vogue or cosmopolitan or, you know, everybody in the movies is wearing a certain kind of shoe. If I don't like it, I don't like it, right? But that's just one really simple example, right? So with everything that's out there, everything that we're being influenced by and what's popular and the fake news, there's just so many mixed messages out there. I mean, person A on the left says one thing, person B on the right says something completely different. And of course, everybody in the middle has an opinion too. And there are a lot of people out there treating their opinions as fact. I mean, it seems to me anyway that's the case. And it also seems like there's been this huge groundswell of public support pushing people to go along with certain agendas. Like COVID is another really great example of that. The pandemic really polarized people, didn't it? On one side, huge support for vaccines and wearing masks. On the other side, a huge uprising of people who said, no, I don't want to get vaccinated. Masks don't work, right? So we're back to that whole concept of social engineering. Who gets to shape the idea of who you are as a woman? Well, when I think about that for me and what makes me high ticket and how I want to be not just intentional with my life, but divinely intentional. In other words, I want God to direct what I think and feel and not others. Okay, that means I have to be really careful and really aware of what is influencing me. Because the thing is, everybody has an agenda. Now, an agenda doesn't have to be bad per se. I mean, there could be good agendas out there, but there is a standard of measurement that I want to live by. And for me, that's God's word. So I have to evaluate all those other agendas out there against what I know and believe to be right, what God is directing for me and for my life. It means I have to pay attention. I can't just walk through life going, oh, everybody else is doing this. I guess I will too. This must be what's cool and all the rage right now. So let's give this a go. No, I have to keep my brain turned on. Okay. So if I'm going to remain high ticket, then I have to know exactly what is in the core of me that keeps me going in the right direction. Okay. But let's stop and let's ask ourselves an important question. Why is it that we are so easily influenced? Why do we let society influence us? Well, let's actually back up and let's answer another important question. Just what is society? That might sound like a really dumb question, but it's not really, okay, if we think about it, right? So let's define society, because this is kind of interesting when you think about it. First of all, there's this, our society at large, right? The community, the city, the state that we live in, the country that we live in. That's our society, right? And, you know, you can live in a conservative state, but the country at large maybe is trending towards something far more liberal. You know, my husband and I live in Mexico now. And so the culture here is a little bit different than the US culture. So the society around us is a little bit different than if we were still living in the United States. But you know, there can also be smaller societies that you're a part of. For example, I'm a member of a church organization. So that of and by itself is its own small society, a small group of people, right? And each society that you're a part of, whether it's a church or a club or an organization, it has its own rules and standards that it goes by. And here's where it gets tricky. Society at large might tell you that something's okay, but maybe the smaller society that you're also a part of says it's not. Okay. Certainly my church is far more conservative than society at large, right? So what's trending out in the world isn't what's trending for me at church. and that's where it gets complicated, right? Where do we, what do we pay attention to? Who gets to tell us, you know, what, how we live our lives? And the thing is that we want to fit in. We want to be a part of something. We like having things in common with a group. So there's also pressure to conform to the standards and expectations of a group. If you're not a part of any organization or church or smaller society, then are you just conforming to what society at large is telling you? Right? So we've defined sort of what society is. Now let's talk about why we let society influence us. Well, we've talked about one of those reasons already. And by the way, there's a really good book out there called Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion. And I highly recommend it because it goes through a lot of this whole, you know, what we're talking about today, social engineering and why we let society influence us. But it, again, one of the reasons is what we just talked about, right? Wanting to conform, right? So consensus, it's hard to go against the crowd. You know, if everybody's doing it, or it seems like everybody's doing it, we want to fit in. We want to be liked. We want validation from people that what we're doing is okay. So we look around and, well, I guess everybody around me is doing this. So that becomes our social proof that our behaviors are okay, right? I mean, just take social media, for example. Like, how many times do we look to see how many likes a post gets? Or we look to see how many followers an influencer has. And then we base our decision on whether we're going to listen to that person based on, oh, they have 5.8 million followers. I guess what they have to say is super important versus, you know, oh, this person only has 35 followers, right? And so I'm not, what are they, what does their opinion matter? Nobody listens to them or watches them, right? And so we can make our decisions sometimes based on just on what's everybody else doing, right? And this is why we have peer pressure and groupthink, right? I don't need to define peer pressure. It's happened to all of us. You go out with your friends on a Friday night, absolutely determined that you are going to be moderate in your drinking because you're trying to cut back and you're making some different life choices. But your friends aren't doing that. Your friends are like, come on, Debbie, have another one. You know, don't be such a party pooper. And you don't want to be the odd person out, so you go along. And then the concept of groupthink, which again, same type of thing, right? It's difficult to stand up against a group. So we can be pulled along. We can be influenced to make a bad decision, even an irrational decision, because we want to fit in. And so this whole concept of groupthink, where we let the conformity to the group be what influences us. You know, another reason we go along with society and let society affect us is that we tend to treat people the way they treat us. So if somebody's done a favor for us, they've helped us out in some way, we like to reciprocate. So again, think about these influencers, right? The obvious ones and the not so obvious ones. There's psychology behind this. Don't underestimate the intentional desire of these influencers to shape your thinking. It's very powerful. Okay. So they're doing all of this, of course, in the hope of getting your attention. They want you to support them, to buy something from them, to vote for them, to go out and help sway the opinions of others. Okay. You know, like if I really love using the example again of like watching Pinterest or YouTube makeup tutorials, if I really like the way one makeup artist does something, then I'm going to go out and I'm going to tell my sisters about it and my friends about it and, you know, other women about it. Maybe even some of my female clients about it. Like, oh, I really love the way so-and-so shows you how to do blah, blah, blah when it comes to makeup. Okay. They want that. Another reason why we can be so easily influenced by society is because, well, we tend to listen to people that we view as being an authority figure, somebody that we look up to. So we value their opinion or their education or their expertise. And, you know, whether this is a government official, a police officer, a employer, a church pastor, people with titles, people who wear uniforms, who have a degree of expertise or knowledge about something that we don't have, well, we can assume they know what's best, right? And that they have the answers and that we don't have them. So we have to listen to them. And they can, if they aren't being guided or directed by something that's moral and, you know, aligns with our core values, then they can influence us in a way that goes against our value system. Another reason is when you like somebody. Have you ever been persuaded to do something against what you really believe or what you value because you liked that person? You felt sympathy for them or compassion or empathy for them. Maybe they shared something very deeply personal, and now you want to help them out, or you want to root for them. You want to do something for them. And so people will use this, again, psychology behind this, right? They'll start off with their own rags to riches story, right? Or their own, you know, my life was falling apart story, but I overcame all the odds. And now look at me, I'm a great success. And I overcame all of those obstacles, and I can help you do that too. So we like their story. We like what they have to say. It triggers an emotional response in us, right? Maybe we can really relate to what they've gone through because it's something similar to what we've experienced. And that makes them more influential over us as a result. I mean, similarity is the building block of connection and ultimately friendship, right? When we have things in common with somebody, we are more easily influenced by that person. Okay, another reason then has to do with how we perceive ourselves. So if you see yourself in a certain way, if you have a certain self-image, it's easier for somebody to come along and influence you along that path. Let me use myself as an example. Okay. So I like to exercise and I'm a runner and, you know, I like diet and health and nutrition. So I am going to be more easily influenced by people who are offering me ways to improve my health, improve my ability to be fit and toned and stretch. And, you know, I just turned 55. So there's a few more aches and pains. There's a little less flexibility. So when I see things, especially on my phone, social media platforms that are promoting greater flexibility, promoting being more toned, balancing out hormones, boosting metabolism, all that stuff's really going to interest me, right? So I'm going to be more easily influenced in that way. Another and final way that we'll talk about how society is able to influence us is through, again, the psychological concept of scarcity. Like, how many times have you been offered something, but there's just a limited amount of time that you have to act? There's some sort of deadline or limited supply. Or you know, this is a one-time opportunity and it's never going to come around again. Well, that has huge power to persuade us, to get us to act. So I know this has definitely impacted me. You know, I can think of a number of times when I've clicked on some sort of offer because I truly believed that it was an incredible deal that was going to be going away if I didn't act right now. So I want you to think about all of these different ways that, if, again, if we're just on autopilot and we're not really living intentionally, then society has huge power to shape our thinking. So think about that and the high ticket woman that you want to be, okay? That ideally is driven by, again, that core set of values that isn't influenced by what's trending, what's popular, what's current. You know, I recently heard advertising for a podcast, and the title of the podcast is called Unladylike. Unladylike. That's the name of the podcast. And it's by women for women. And I presume, although I don't actually know this because I haven't actually listened to it, I presume that it's going to be about breaking out of traditional norms, societal norms that have defined how women are supposed to be, okay? So what would happen if I listened to that podcast? Okay, would it over time begin to shape my perspective about how to think about me as a woman? Think about other things that are out there that are telling you about how to be a woman. And now let's talk about really specifically what society is telling you about how you should be treated by men. And I want to leave you with this one really important thing. Okay. I work with so many women, women who pour their hearts out to me, women who go from one relationship with a man to another and then another and then another. And every one of those men they've slept with and every one of those men has used them in some sort of sexual way. And while they might feel like they got some sort of sexual enjoyment out of being with that man, ultimately what they're all saying to me boils down to the same thing. It's not really what they want. They don't want a casual sexual encounter. They don't want to go from guy to guy to guy just having casual sex. And by the way, there is really no such thing as casual sex because God did not wire women to be that way. But let's tie this into the concept of social engineering. What have we been told about as women about sex that didn't used to be this way 40, 50, 60 years ago that we've just accepted and bought into? And how is that impacting the way we view ourselves, the way we view men? How is that impacting our relationships? What's that doing to us? We're going to talk about this a lot more. It's not just about sex, but sex is very much at the core of this because there's huge messaging out there that tells us as women to be sexy, to be sexual, to turn men on, to be beautiful. Beautiful, to focus on our outer image, to be young, to be vibrant, to be passionate. A lot of messaging around sexuality. It's everywhere. You know that. Even a toothpaste commercial uses sex as part of its advertising and messaging, right? Everything at the heart of most marketing messages is sex. Either openly, directly, or implied. So we're going to talk more about this. And I have an interview coming up with a really interesting woman who's written a book that I'll tell you about when we get to this episode where I interview her about the damage that social engineering has done for us as women. So stay tuned. That's coming. That's it for today, ladies. Be sure to go get my free guide, the 10-Step Relationship Rescue Roadmap. And that guide is just a guide for you. Not going to be asking for you to book a call with me or anything like that. Just offering you a free guide to get you on the right path with your relationship. And also, I want you to come join my private Facebook group, Relationship Resolution. You'll see the link to get to that at the end of the podcast. Every other week, I go live in that private Facebook group to answer any relationship questions you send me. Doesn't matter what it is, I go and answer that, as well as having all kinds of other tips and tools out there as well. So come join the community of women that are joining that. It's growing, and I want you to be a part of it. I'll see you next episode.
For more episodes, just go to debbiecaudle.com. And while you're there, get your free copy of my guide, 10-Step Relationship Rescue Roadmap.